Richard Pearl's influence in the events leading up to war likely has been overstated. At the time the chairman of the Defense Policy Board, an advisory group, he also seems to have wielded some influence with the office of Vice President Cheney. Pearl's main role, at least in public, seems to have been the one willing to be quoted in the media, saying in public what his more discreet allies in the Bush administration, such as I. Lewis Scooter Libby, Cheney's chief of staff, would say to reporters only on background. Pearl resembles Wolfowitz in his approach, bright, incisive, and somewhat academic in tone, with an air of deliberation and precision. Yet while Wolfowitz seeks to persuade, Pearl attacks, often seeming eager to pounce on his opponent's capabilities and to cast doubt on their integrity or intelligence. He also has a habit of making doubtful assertions as though they were generally accepted facts, such as his belief, now known to be wildly off base, that Saddam Hussein was far stronger at the end of Clinton's tenure than at the beginning. Pearl would later explain how, at the Pentagon, analysts working for Feith, his old subordinate who had become Undersecretary of Defense for Policy, produced their alarming interpretation of the murky intelligence about Saddam Hussein, WMD, and terrorism. Within a very short period of time, they began to find links that nobody else had previously understood or recorded in a useful way, he said of those analysts. They noticed things that nobody else had noticed. It was there all along, it simply hadn't been noticed. This key information had been overlooked because the CIA and DIA, Defense Intelligence Agency, were not looking. The way he described it, all that was needed was the fresh, unbiased eye of competent analysts, which in his view was provided by Feith's office at the Pentagon. The whinging, the complaints from the intelligence establishment who had overlooked this material are really quite pathetic. Pearl's argument, ultimately, was that he and his allies simply were better at parsing the data than were their opponents in the intelligence community. Let me be blunt about this. The level of competence on past performance of the Central Intelligence Agency in this area is appalling. It was at this point that the Bush administration's views diverged from that of the intelligence community. There wasn't anyone in the intelligence community who was saying what the Pentagon analysts around Feith were saying, a senior military intelligence official recalled. There were a few stray analysts who connected some of those dots, but no one in the mainstream. The NIE, and especially its doubt-free summary version, offered only a dim and distorted reflection of their views. This particular official is more sympathetic than most of his peers to the Bush administration, but still emphatically rejects the administration's ex post facto defense that everybody got it wrong. The core conclusion of the best intelligence analyst was, he said, that we were looking for evidence, but we weren't finding it. But the failure to stop 9/11 had tarnished the credibility of the intelligence professionals and lessened the deference that others might give them. On top of that, relative amateurs working for Feith and Cheney felt free to seize on existing bits of data and push them as hard as they could, this official added. They would take individual factoids, build them into long lists, and then think because of the length of the list, it was credible. When the lists were rejected by intelligence professionals, they would be leaked to friendly journalists. Feith and his subordinates, especially Bill Luty, a former Navy officer who became a factotum for Administration Hawks, were essentially an extra-governmental organization because many of their sources of information and much of their work were in the shadows, said Gregory Newbold, the Marine general who was then the Joint Staff's operations director. It was also my sense that they cherry-picked obscure, unconfirmed information to reinforce their own philosophies and ideologies.